All right, we'll say last line of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Okay, last line of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says Amar Rava Glima. Okay, now Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Amar Rava Glima. So Rava said if you have a cloak, Akmatra Kikli Akimatra Kikli Besok Klidom. So if you remember again, the Gemara before was talking about the idea of covering a Sefer Torah. And if, let's say, you have a Sefer Torah in a bedroom, so what level of covers do you need over the Sefer Torah in order to allow for marital relations in that bedroom? So here, Rava says that if you have a glima, if you have a cloak, and you put it akimatra, you put it on, let's say, a bookcase, argaz shel svarim, Rashi says. You put it on a bookcase, a svarim, kekli besoch kli. That's like having the svarim housed in one utensil within another utensil, which would then allow for marital relations in that room. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Sefer Torah tzarech lasos lo mechitza asara. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, if you have a Sefer Torah in a room, in order to allow for marital relations in that room, you must construct a mechitza, a barrier of at least 10 tefachim high between yourself and the Sefer Torah. Marzutra ikra ikla lebe Ravashi. Marzutra went to the house of Ravashi. Chazi leduchte demar bar Ravashi demanach be Sefer Torah. So Marzutra saw that in the bedroom of Mar Bar Ravashi, he had a Sefer Torah. Va'ovid le mechitza asara. And he made a mechitza that was 10 tefachim high, which would apparently have allowed Mar Bar Ravashi to engage in marital relations in that room. Amar le kaman. So he said to him, who are you paskening like? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who said that a mechitza of 10 tefachim is enough to create a barrier in front of a Sefer Torah in a bedroom. Amar damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the less be beis achris achrina. So now, Marzutra said, well, maybe Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi only held that particular position when you didn't have another bedroom, right? When you didn't have another room. So meaning, if the only room you have is this room, and the only other place to place the Sefer Torah is in this room, then you could avail yourself of the mechitza option. But if you have an alternative, either for yourself or for the Sefer Torah, you must lechatchila take that. And Mar ha is le beisa achrina. And you, son of Ravashi, you, Mar Baravashi, you have another place either for yourself or for this Torah. Amarle lavadaite. So he said to him, good point. So also what comes out over here is even this Eitzah of building a mechitza of 10 tefachim high is true if you don't have another option. But obviously the chatchila, the best is what? Don't be in the same room as the Sefer Torah at all, even with the mechitza of 10 tefachim. Kami yarchik mahen minatzoa arba amos. So I will say the Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, if you are in contact, or how far must you distance yourself from excrement? So the Mishnah said 4 amos, 6 feet. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Una, lo shanu ela la'achorav. That's only true if the excrement is behind you. Avalafanav marchik melo enov. But if it's in front of you, you really should distance yourself until the excrement is no longer visible. V'chein l'tfila, and this is not just true for Shema, but also for tefila as well. So both sides, what the Gemara is saying now over here now is that when the Mishnah said Dalet Amos, the Mishnah meant behind you, because Dalet Amos behind you means it's no longer visible, it's not in your range of vision anymore. But if it's in front of you, you really should not be. You should distance yourself until it's no longer in your range of vision. Ini, is that true? V'ha amarat from bar papa amarat chista. Omid Adam Kineged Beis Akisei Umispalel. But yet, Rav from Bar Papa said the name of Rav Chista, that a person could stand opposite a bathroom, opposite a Beis Akisei, and could daven. So both sides, so the assumption over there is the Beis Akisei means that Soa is within your range of vision, and yet you're still davening there. Hachab Mayaskinon, the Beis Akisei Shein Vot Soa. What are we talking about over here? With a bathroom that doesn't have any excrement in it. Ini, is that true? And therefore, again, in that case, it would be no problem to daven, even if you could see it. Ini v'ha'amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Beis HaKisei Sha'amru, Af Api She'en Botsoa. But it was the Gemara, really? Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef Bar Chanina said, that when we say all of our halachos about a Beis HaKisei, that applies to what? Even a Beis HaKisei without Tsoa in it. And similarly, any time that we have restrictions regarding a Beis HaMerchatz, now we have not spoken about a Beis HaMerchatz, we'll get to that later on, a bathhouse, Af Api She'en Bo'adam, is true even if there are no people in it. Ela Hachabam Ayaskinan, so what's the case over here of a Beis HaKisei in which you are permitted to daven opposite it? Becharati, A new bathroom. Of course, we know the definition of a new bathroom is what? One that has not yet been used. It's been, they've had the ribbon cutting ceremony already, but they have not yet used it. So the Gemara says, one second. Vahami boyle the Ravina. But yet, this very question was asked to Ravina. His mino lebeis hakisei mahu. So they cleared this actual kasha. What happens if you designated a particular area to be a bathroom, but have not yet used it? Yesh zimun o ein zimun. And the kasha was, is there halachic validity to a designation or not? So if you designate a place as a bathroom, does that endow it with bathroom status or not? So the Gemara says, ki kami boile the Ravina. Lemekum ale litzeluye begave aval kinegdo lo. So Moshe says the Gemara, no. When they were asking that kasha, they were asking it for a more dramatic purpose, which was what? Can you daven inside of it? That was the shayla. Can you daven inside of a bathroom that has been designated as a bathroom, but what? Never used as a bathroom. But aval kinegdo lo. But interestingly enough, the shayla of Zimun was only a shayla of davening inside. But apparently it was a davar pashut that what? That halacha lemaaseh, you certainly could daven outside of it, even if it's within your range of vision. So it appeared based on this that halacha lemaaseh, if a bathroom has never been used, even if it's been designated, then halacha lemaaseh, you certainly could daven outside of it, opposite it. The shayla will still come up in terms of if the bathroom has been used already, even if there's no tzoa in it, apparently the halacha would say, you should not daven opposite it. So listen to this. Amar Rava, Hani Bati Kisoy de Parsoy. Persian bathrooms. Afagav de Isbutsoa, even though they have excrement in it, Kistumin Damu. It is like they are closed up. So also, what's the pshat? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. De Parsoy, this is quite interesting. What's the pshat with Persian bathrooms? Bechafira hayu. So apparently, the Persian bathrooms are very interesting. What would happen? They would have a place to relieve yourself. What they would do is, as opposed to regular bathrooms, which we saw beforehand, were above ground, weren't bechafira, the Persians would tunnel down. So that when a person would relieve themselves, essentially what would happen is, the waste would roll down into an underground tunnel. He says, look at Rashi, bechafira hayu upihem berachok min aguma v'hu b'shipua v'harei miskalgel v'nofel aguma. It's very interesting. So what they would do is they would dig down. So I guess if you can imagine, they had like a toilet. Underneath the toilet was a tunnel. The tunnel was dug at an angle so that when a person would relieve themselves, the excrement would roll down. So essentially, in the Persian bathrooms, there was never any kind of ray. There was never ever kind of excrement within the bathroom itself. It was all underground. So Rava said, Persian bathrooms are as if they are fully sealed up, which would technically mean that halacha lemaisa, you would be able to go ahead and even daven there. So we'll say, why is this interesting for us? So the Piskei Tshuva is bringing that. So contemporary halacha discusses the status of our bathrooms in halacha. And it would appear that if Rava was okay with Persian bathrooms, of course Rava would certainly be okay with our bathrooms, with modern plumbing, which really takes waste totally away from the bathroom. So not for now, but the Poskim discusses, Chazonish discusses this, others discuss this, and say that it could be, according to the technical letter of the law, perhaps you should be able to go ahead and even recite brachos within our modern-day bathrooms, with the one exception, leaving aside odor. Obviously, we already saw before that where there's significant odor, one would not be able to say a bracha. But halacha lemaisa, in the absence of an odor, it would appear that our modern-day bathrooms would be bracha friendly, we'll call it. So halach lemaisa, even the Chazon Ish and others who try to advance an argument that it should be okay, at the end of the day say, you know what, we still treat our bathrooms like bathrooms have always been treated, and therefore we do not make brachos within our bathrooms. But I'll tell you one interesting thing that does come out, that let's say for argument's sake, there's no sink outside, right? The halacha is that when you leave the bathroom, one is supposed to wash their hands when leaving the bathroom. But let's say there's no sink outside of the bathroom. So halacha lemaisa, one would be permitted to wash their hands within the bathroom and would not require another netila outside. Because since within our bathrooms there is no solid standing human waste, so therefore netila is permitted inside in the absence of the ability to be notel outside. Okay, Mishnah. Zov shera'a keri, benida shepalta shivchazera. So we actually spoke this out earlier. Back to the Balkari issue. If a Zov, right, so a person is already Tomei Tomas Zivos. A person is a Zov and then has a seminal emission, or Nida Shepalta Shechvazera, or a woman is a Nida, and let's say she became a Nida, so cousin and wife had relations, then she became a Nida, and now what? And now she's emitting some of the Zera, some of the seed of the husband, which makes her a Balas Keri also. Or a Mishamesha Shira'as a Nida, or a woman had relations and then became a Nida, Tzrichin Tevila. The Tanakhama says in all of these cases, these people still require immersion for a Baal Keri, even though what? Even though they're still Tameh. Right, so meaning even though the Zav is still going to be Tameh even after he goes to the mikvah for his Baal Keri, he still has to go to the mikvah for Baal Keri. Because Mishnah Chavav. So now again, remember, essentially the Takanas Ezra was that a Baal Keri is not permitted in words of Torah until after going to the mikvah. The Takanas Ezra was such that even though by going to the mikvah for Keri, you may still be Tameh, the Takanas Ezra was Dafka for Keri Tuma. So because of that, even if you're still going to be Tameh after the Baal Keri immersion, you still have to go to the mikvah. But Rabbi Huda Poter, and Rabbi Huda says you're Poter. Now it would appear that the logic of Rabbi Huda, right, as Rashi points out, is what's the point of these particular immersions? Right, because at the end of the day, after you go to the mikvah, you're still what? You're still tummy. So we'll say we already dealt with the Baal Keri sugya. We saw the Shulchan Aruch about the fact that Takanas Ezra is pretty much bottle, although we saw the whole idea with the Tishah Kabin as well. But let's go through it. So the Gemara says, Ibay lehum, Baal Keri shira azivah Rabbi Yehuda mahu. What is the status of a Baal Keri that became a zov? Right, so now let's say a man had a seminal emission. A man had a seminal emission, made him a Baal Keri, and then afterwards, after the seminal emission, he becomes Tomei Tumas Zov. All right. So the question is, according to Rabbi Huda, does he have to go to the mikvah? So Mahu, ki pater Rabbi Huda hasa bezav shara keri demei karlav bar tevilahu. So maybe the only case that Rabbi Huda exempts the Zov from going to the mikvah was when he was first a Zov and then became a Baal Keri. Because at that point in time, since he was already a Zav, when he subsequently became a Baal Keri, he was already Tameh, and therefore going to the mikvah for his Keri status will do nothing to alleviate his more global tuma. Aval Baal Keri, Shera Aziva, Dmeikara Bar Tvilahu Mechayiv. But on the other hand, where he was first a Baal Keri, and then what? And then became a Zav, where first he was really in the parsha of mikvah, in the parasha of going to the mikvah for his keri tuma, about Rabbi Huda hold his chayiv, ol dilma loshna, or perhaps it makes no difference. So the Gemara says Tashma, hamishameshes v'ra'a sanida tzricha tvila. So the Gemara says the truth is the Mishnah itself discusses a very similar case that if a woman had relations with her husband and then subsequently became a nida, right there, and then she emits zera, she emits some of the seed of the husband, which then makes her a balas keri. So the halacha is tzricha tvila. She still has to go to the mikvah for her keri tuma, even though what? Even though when she goes to the mikvah for her keri tuma, it's not going to alleviate or it's not going to address her tumas nida. For Rabbi Huda poter, and Rabbi Huda exempts her from going to the mikvah under these circumstances. I said, so the Gemara says, "V'hamish ameshes v'ra'a sanida kibal keri shera'a ziva damya." I, but we see that this is just like the case of what? So the case of the woman who had relations with her husband and then became a nida is just like the case of the Baal Keri who becomes a zav. And yet, what do we see? That Rabbi Huda patters shmamina v'kapat Rabbi Huda shmamina. So we see from here what Rabbi say. That we see from here that according to Rabbi Huda gives you a pass anytime when the tvila will not alleviate your entire tumah. So according to Rabbi Huda, Any time you're still tamei, even after going to the mikvah for your carry status, Rabbi Huda exempts you from going ahead and going to the mikvah at all. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chiya Behedja. Rabbi Chiya goes ahead and actually states this explicitly. Baal carry shara aziva tzarech tvila. That Rabbi Chiya says that a baal carry who became a zav afterwards requires tvila for Rabbi Huda poter, and Rabbi Huda says you're exempt. Hadron Aloch Mishamesu. Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos. Now the Mishnah says, Rabbosai, 4th chapter of Brachos, you can daven Shacharis until Chatzos, until noon. Obviously, any times you're going to speak about Rabbosai are Shos Zmanios, are Halachic hours. Halachic hours are established the following way. If you take the amount of time, it's actually Machlokias, but we'll go with between sunrise and sunset. Others have it between dawn and night. So we'll go with sunrise and sunset and divide that into 12 equal parts. That gives you your shos manio. So sometimes an hour is more than 60 minutes. Sometimes an hour is less than 60 minutes. But nevertheless, whenever we talk about time, it's always shos manios. So you can daven shachris until midday. Rabbi Huda Omer ad dalachos. Rabbi Huda says until 4 hours and four hours into the day. Tfilas ha-mincha ad ha-erev. You can daven mincha until evening. Rabbi Huda Omer ad plaga mincha. Until plaga mincha, which we'll discuss what that is. Tfilas ha-erev ein lo keva. Ma'ariv has no limit. V'shamusafen kol ha-yom. And Musaf can be daven the entire day. Rabbi Huda Omer ad zayin shas. Rabbi Huda says, no, you can only daven Musaf until 7 hours into the day. Says the Gemara. Or minhu. Mitzvasa imanei tzachama. Shabbos, the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, excuse me, that you could daven shachris until midday. You could daven shachris until midday. So the Gemara says, really? But the Braisa says, mitzvasa imanei tzachama. That when should you be davening shachris? With the rising sun. Why? Kadesh yismoch geula letfila. In order to juxtapose geula, the bracha of Gal Yisrael, to Shmona Esek. Because remember we saw before that Shema is davened right before sunrise. Shmona Esrei right at sunrise. So you could go ahead and juxtapose the bracha of Gal Yisrael, Birchas Kriya Shema, to Shmona Esrei. So how could the Mishnah go ahead and say that Shachris is Atul Chatzos when the Braisa explicitly says that it's Netzachamo? To which the Gemara says, no. Ki Tanya Hahi Levasikin. The Braisa over here is talking about the Vasikin. Who are the Vasikin? Rashi says, Vasikin Hamakdimen Lemitzvos. Those who are very vigilant in their mitzvah performance, Umachzirin Laasos Davar Bizmano. And they always try to do things in the right time. Umitzvaso Makdimen Laachar Netzachama Lehispalo. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kitanya Hi, when is this Braisa talking about for the Vasikin? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vasikin Hayu Gomrim Osa Im Hanetzachama. The Vasikin begin Shmona Esrei with sunrise. The Kule Alma ad Chatzos, right? And everyone else goes until Chatzos. So it's not a contradiction. The Mishnah is talking about stam people. The Brice is talking about the Vasikin. So the Gemara says Vesulo. That's it, only until Chatzos. That's the latest time for Shacharis. V'ha'amar Rav Mari B'reid Rav Huna, B'reid Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. If you made a mistake, and you did not daven Ma'ariv, you could daven Shachris twice. Shachris, if you made a mistake with Shachris and forgot to daven Shachris, Mispal Mincha Shtayim, you could daven Mincha twice. Kulei Yoma, so the Gemara says like this, Rabbosai, what do you see from here? So the Mishnah wanted to say that Chatzos is the last time to daven Shachris, but what do we see from here, Rabbosai? That you can actually daven Shachris when? Right? Throughout the entire day. Because if you went ahead and you didn't daven Shachris, what can you do? You could daven Mincha twice. To which the Gemara says, no. Kuli Yom HaMasli V'Azyom. The truth is, you're right, technically speaking, you daven the entire day. Which means that if you, for argument's sake, forgot to daven Shachris, you can daven Mincha twice. However, Ad Chatzos Yohiv Lei Schar Tfila Bizmano. Until Chatzos, you get the schar of davening in the right time. Mikan ve'elech, but after Chatzos, schar tefila yohivilei, you get the schar for davening, schar tefila bizmana lo yohivilei, but you don't get the schar for davening in the right time. Fine. So we'll say, by the way, the Torah, the Gemara just introduced us to the concept of tashlumin. Right? Tashlumin means that if you go ahead and accidentally omit a tefila, you have a makeup tefila. a makeup tefillah. Now, we'll have to understand what the mechanics of that are, because it doesn't really make all that much sense, as we'll see as we go on. But nevertheless, it is a concept that, again, if I forget, now this obviously we'll see in just a little bit, not for intentional omission of tefillah, right? If you just feel like sleeping in and say, no problem, I'll just catch a double mincha, that does not work. But assuming one accidentally missed a tefillah, one has makeup. So the Gemara is just saying that when the Mishnah says you could daven shachris until chatzos, that's when you get schar tefillah bizmana. That's when you get the actual mitzvah of tefillah. Anything else you get makeup, but you don't get the same level of quote unquote credit for that. So the Gemara says, Iboy lehu, an interesting shayla. Ta velo ispalel mincha, maushi ispalel arvis beis. If you forgot to daven mincha, can you daven ma'ariv twice? So why is this a kasha? In tim tzolomar tavlo ispalel arvis al shachris beis, mishum dechad yomahu. So I understand in a case where you forget to daven mincha, where you forget to daven ma'ariv, you could daven shachris twice. That makes sense. Why? Because it's all part of one day. Dichsiv vayerev ayboker yom echad. Because Torah itself says that ma'ariv is the beginning of the new day. So if you forget ma'ariv, you could daven shachris twice. Aval hocha, tefillah b'machum karbani, d'cheivan d'avrayon batal karbano. So on one hand you could say, but here where you forgot mincha, and you're davening ma'ariv twice, you could say the following. Tefillah corresponds to sacrificial service, which we'll see. And the concept is avro yom batal karbano. When you miss your karban, what happens? When you miss the day of a particular karban, that karban is done. There's nothing more to talk about. So maybe essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is mincha to ma'ariv is really two different days. So maybe once you miss mincha, you should not be able to make it up. Oh, the other possibility is kevan ditzalus arachamehi kol emas deboy matzli vazil. Or the other side of the equation maybe is that tefillah is supplication. Because tefillah is supplication, because it's rachamim, maybe you should do it whenever you have a chance. And therefore, even though mincha to ma'ariv is two separate days, you can make up ma'ariv, you can make up a missed mincha ma'ariv. So tashma de amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar Rav Yitzchak amar Rav Yochanan. Ta velo ispala mincha mispala arvis beis. So here the Bryce explicitly says it, that if you missed mincha, you could daven ma'ariv twice. The ain bazeh mishum to over yom batal karbano, and we don't say that once the day is gone, you've missed your karban as well. Meisve, so as that would seem, to, and that is of course halacha lemaisa, that even though mincha to ma'ariv is two separate days, nevertheless you can still make up a missed mincha in the next ma'ariv. Right, we'll talk about the mechanics. Right, we'll talk about the mechanics of this in a little bit. Meisve. So the Gemara raises the question. Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon, dechasron lo yuchal lihimanos. So here the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Koheles. That mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon, that which is bent cannot be made straight, and that which is missing cannot be counted. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon, what does it mean that which is bent cannot be made straight? That refers to someone who negated, who did not say Kriyat Shema at night. The Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, or Kriyat Shema in the morning. O Tefillah Shel Arvis, O Tefillah Shel Shachris. Or you missed davening, you missed Shachris of Ma'ariv, you missed Shmona Esri of Ma'ariv, or Shmona Esri of Shachris. So we'll say, what does the Brisa seem to be saying over here? That if you did not daven, then what does Shlomo HaMelech call that? Right, Muvas Lo Yuchal Liskon. You can't fix that. Once you've missed it, you've missed it, which of course poses a contradiction to what we just said before, because we just said before, if you missed it, you can make it up in the next tefillah. The Chesron Lo Yuchal Imanos, what does it mean? Something that is missing cannot be counted. That refers to a situation where a person's friends, right, wanted to get involved in a mitzvah or got involved in a mitzvah, and you did not join them. So after they perform the mitzvah, you've missed out, and you will not have an opportunity to go ahead and perform that mitzvah. We're not concerned about the second part, we're concerned about the first part. So here the Brisa says that missing tefillah is mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon. That once you miss it, you miss it. Which of course again poses a contradiction to what we just said before. To which the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, hacha b'mayaskinon. What's the case over here? Shebita b'mezid. The case over here, Abosai, is the following. What is the Brisa referring to? Where you purposely missed tefillah. If you purposely missed davening, right? Meaning you purposely let it lapse and did not daven, then what? Then that indeed is mu'ubas lo yuchal liskon. That indeed is something that you cannot fix. Because once you've intentionally negated tefillah, there is no concept of tashlumin, there is no makeup prayer for that. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, dekan amidiktani, the truth is a good raya to this. Dekan amidiktani means you could be even medayik. You could even see this in the wording of the Braisa. Diktani botel velo katani ta shmamina. That the Braisa itself says what, Rabbi Osai? The Braisa says, Betel. Betel says what? Betel says you negated. You negated the performance of Shema. You negated the performance of Shemona Esrei. So negated means you intentionally did not do it. So if you intentionally missed out on doing this, then halacha lemaisa, clearly you have no tashlumin. But if you accidentally omitted Shema, you accidentally forgot to daven Shemona Esrei, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, you have the ability to go ahead and make a tashlumin and make it up in the next tefillah. All right, Tan Rabbanon. Ta'av lo hispalal mincha be'erev Shabbos mispalal b'lo Shabbos time. So, now the Gemara gets into the interesting discussion about tashlumin. See, the cases that we dealt with until now go from prayer to prayer, but the common denominator is that the prayers are the same. So, for example, if you forget Mariv and you daven Shacharis twice, it's the same Shemona Esrei. Forget about Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav for just a little bit. That's minor changes. But the text of the Shemona Esrei is the same. Now the Gemara is going to get into the interesting discussion over here of what happens when you miss a tefillah, and the makeup tefillah is different than the tefillah you missed. So Tov lo hispalal mincha be'erev Shabbos, if you forgot, right? You made a mistake and you didn't have mincha on Erev Shabbos, mispalal b'lo Shabbos time. So you could daven two marivs. Now I'll say, even though what? Even though the mariv Shemona Esrei of Shabbos is going to be different than the Shemona Esrei of the mincha you missed, still you can go in and you can make it up. So you daven two mariv Shemona Esreis. Similarly, Tov lo hispalal mincha b'Shabbos, if you made a mistake, and I'll say, now again, the chiddush over here is, the makeup Shemona Esrei in Mariv will still be a Shabbos Shemona Esrei. So you will daven two Mariv Shabbos Shemona Esreis. The first Shemona Esrei will be daven for the sake of Mariv, and the second Shemona Esrei will daven for the sake of the makeup. So the makeup Shemona Esrei is going to be a Mariv of Shabbos Shemona Esrei, even though what? Even though the tefillah you're trying to make up is the missed mincha of Chol. Similarly, Tavlo espal mincha b'Shabbos, right? If you made a mistake and you omitted Shabbos mincha, so what do? Mispalel b'motzoi Shabbos shtayim shel chol. You daven two Shemona Esreis of motzoi Shabbos, which are two weekday Shemona Esreis. Your first Shemona Esrei is for your obligatory prayer of Mariv, and your second Shemona Esrei is your makeup prayer. So we'll say this becomes the model of Tashlumen. Whenever you do a makeup prayer, so the first Shemona Esrei is always to satisfy your obligation. The second Shemona Esrei is to satisfy the tefillah you missed. But both Shemona Esreis are of the current obligatory tefillah. So on Motzai Shabbos, you daven two weekday Shemona Esreis. The first is for your obligatory Mariv. The second is to make up the mincha you missed. However, mavdil barishona ve'eno mavdil b'shnia. But what do? You make havdalah in the first one, because again, the first one is your obligatory prayer, and you do not make havdalah in the second one, because again, the second one is your makeup Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says, ve'im hivdil b'shnia. But if you made havdalah in the second one, velo hivdil b'rishona, you didn't make havdalah in the first one, then shnia al salo, rishona lo al salo. See, here's what's interesting. But if you made havdalah in the second Shemona Esrei, but did not make havdalah in the first Shemona Esrei, then the first one counts, and the second one counts and the first one does not. What does that mean? That if you went ahead and you made havdalah in the second Shemona Esrei, not in the first, what you're showing is that the second Shemona Esrei is really the weekday Shemona Esrei, is the obligatory Shemona Esrei, and therefore that's one that counts. The first one does not count. Why doesn't the first one count? Because they're both saying you are not permitted to daven the tashlumin before the chov. You can't daven the makeup prayer before the obligatory prayer. So if you made havdalah in number two and did not make havdalah in number one, that shows that number two is the obligatory one. If number two is the obligatory one, even if your kavanah was to daven the makeup in number one, that does not count. So number two counts as your obligatory prayer, but now you still have to daven again for your tashlumin. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Lememra, is that to say, Dechevan de lo avdel bakamaisa, kiman de lo tzali dami? So is that to say that because you omitted Havdalah in the first Shemona Esrei, it's as if what? It's as if you didn't daven, or mahadrinale, or make you go back, or minu, but we have a kasha. Tzavalo his skill, gvuras gisham betchias amazim. Here Abba said, the Gemara talks about, the Braisa talks about situations where omissions that make you go back and daven again. So for example, if you didn't say Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem, or Sheila Bebirkas HaSharim, or B'Sein Talumot Livracha, Machzirinos, you have to go back. But yet, Havdalah Bechonin Hadas, in Machzirinos. So, but if you omit Havdalah, you don't have to go back. Why? Nibneshi Yochalo Omra Alakos. Because you could always go ahead and say Havdalah afterwards. Therefore, even though we're supposed to say in the Shemona Esrei, it's not integral. Kasha. So the Gemara says, it's a kasha. So we'll say, the truth is, it's not such a kasha, right? Because here there's a major difference. We're not making you really go back because you went ahead, bless you, and omitted Havdalah. What we're making you go back for over here is, you made a dramatic statement in the order of the Shemona Esrei's. See, under normal circumstances, if you omitted Havdalah, not a problem, you don't have to go back, you continue to make Havdalah a kos. Here, when you're davening a tashlumin, you have to make a statement. You must do something that indicates that Shemona Esrei number one is your chov, and Shemona Esrei number two is your tashlumin. By omitting Havdalah in number one and reciting it in number two, at least behaviorally or situationally, you're making an opposite statement. You're saying that Shemona Esrei number one is the tashlumin, Shemona Esrei number two is the chov. So for example, Rabosai, if you were to go ahead and omit Havdalah in both, you would not need to go back. Or for that matter, if you were to recite Havdalah in both, you would not need to go back. It's only in this particular case, where here you omitted it in number one, said it in number two, where situationally, it looks like number one is the Tashlumin, number two is the Chov, that you have to go back. So, and that's how Halacha L'Maaseh will say. So again, so whenever davening a Tashlumin, under normal circumstances, the two Shemona Esreis always look the same. The exception will really be in this Motzai Shabbos case, where Shemona Esrei number one, which is your Chov, should get Havdalah, and Shemona Esrei number two, which is your makeup, should not get Havdalah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omar. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes ahead and gets into a fundamental issue. Tfilos Avos Tiknu. So we'll say just one more word about this. So the halach lemaisa with tashlumin, just so in general, is you only have the ability to avail yourself with tashlumin if really it was a mistake, right? If it was an unintentional missing of tefillah. The definition of unintentional is much broader than just forgetting it. We're not going to get into it right now. But halach lemaisa, that's when you have the opportunity to avail yourself of tashlumin. Just I want to point out to you an interesting case, which maybe I'm just going to say it to you now, and then we'll come back to it hopefully a different time. The interesting Tosis brings up the case of where you forget mincha on Rosh Chodesh. You omitted Yaleh v'Yavo in Shemona Esrei of mincha of Rosh Chodesh, and you only realized when Rosh Chodesh is over. So Tosis brings down an interesting shaila: is there a tashlumin in that case? Since by davening an additional Shemona Esrei on Mariv on Motzai Rosh Chodesh, you're not going to gain that which you have lost, which opens up a whole greater discussion in general of making up tfilos where the makeup will not satisfy exactly what's been omitted. All right, well, hopefully maybe the end of the week we'll come back to a little bit more. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omar. Tfilos avos tiknum. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says, why do we daven? We daven because the avos daven. Avram daven shachris, Yitzchak daven mincha, Yaakov daven mariv, that's how we daven. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Tfilos can I get to me, didn't take them. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says, no, we daven why? We daven in order to correspond to the karbanos. Right? We daven, our tfilos correspond to the karbanos. Tanya kavas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. We have a rice that's supposed to be Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Tanya kavas Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Tanya kavas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Avram tikein tfilat shachris. Avram instituted shachris. Shneimar. Vayashkim Avram abokir elamakom sharmacham. Avram woke up early and he went back to the place in which he stood. The ein amida ela tfila. And the lashon of amida, of standing, is the lashon of prayer. Shneimar. Vayamod Pinchas vayipolel. Okay. Yitzchok tikein tfilas mincha. Yitzchok instituted the prayer of mincha. Shneimar. Vayetze Yitzchok lasuach basad lifnos arev. Yitzchok went out literally to converse in the field before the evening. Ve'ein sicha ela tfila. And the lashon of sicha means prayer. Shne'emar, tfila la'ani kiyatov, the prayer of a poor person when he wraps himself. Ve'lifnei Hashem yishbok sicho. And before God, he will spill his conversation. So siach, you see, ultimately means tfila. Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis. Yaakov instituted ma'ariv. Shne'emar, vayifka b'makom vayolen sham. Right, literally, vayifka makom. He met that place. He right, vayifka paga. He came to that place and he stayed there. Ve'ein pigia ela tefila. The lashon of pigia is tefila shneimar. Va'ata al taspala ba'ata amaze. Va'al tisa ba'adam rina utvila. Va'al tifka bi. Fine. So we'll say here the brisa indicates that each of these lashonos by the avos indicates some type of lashon by tefila. The Tanya Kavas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. There's another brisa that's part of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Mipnei ma amru, and again Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi holds that tefilos kineged tmidin tiknum. That we have tefila because tefila corresponds to the karbanos. What's the brisa? Tanya Kavas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Mipnei ma amru tefila hashachar ad chatzos. Why is it that you can daven shachris until midday? Shari tamid shal shachar kara v'holich ad chatzos. Because the morning offering, the morning communal offering, could be offered until midday. So just like the Talmud Shal Shachar could be offered until Chatzos, Shachris can be davened until Chatzos. Rabbi Hud Omer Ad Arba Shos. Rabbi Hud says until 4 hours. Why? Shari Talmud Shal Shachar Kara V'Holich Ad Arba Shos. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds the morning offering could only be offered until 4 hours into the day. And why are you permitted to daven mincha until evening, sunset? Because you could offer the afternoon communal sacrifice until the evening. Rabbi Yehuda omer plaga mincha. Rabbi Yehuda holds you could only daven mincha until plaga mincha, which we'll discuss what time that is, because that was the time that the afternoon's sacrifice could be offered as well. And why do we say that Ma'ariv has no limit? Shahari Ivar, and we'll define what that means also. Shahari Ivarim Upidarim Shalanis Achlo Mimba Erev Kraven Vahochim Kol HaLaila. Now we're going to assume Ein La Keva means you could daven Ma'ariv the entire night. Why can you daven Ma'ariv the entire night? Because whatever leftover fats and limbs you had from the daily sacrificial service can be burned on the Mizveach throughout the entire night. Rabbi Huda Omer Ad Sheva Shos. Rabbi Huda says until 7 hours. Excuse me, I skipped the line. Shamusaf and Karav Kalayom, right? I'm sorry. Mufnei Ma Amru Shamusaf and Kalayom. Why can you daven Musaf the entire day? Shahari Karban Shamusaf and Karav Kalayom. Because you could offer the Musaf the entire day. Rabbi Huda Omer Ad Sheva Shos. Rabbi Huda says you can only have Musaf until 7 hours into the day. Why? Shahari Karban Musaf Karav Holich Ad Sheva Shos. Because you could only offer the Karav Musaf until 7 hours. So now the Gemara pauses for just a moment, Rabbi. So I see now, according to this Brisa, Tefillah, as we have it, corresponds to the Karbanos. So now the Gemara just pauses for just a moment. Ve'ezohi Mincha Gidola. What is Mincha Gidola? Mishesh Sha'os Umechza Ulemala. Mincha Gidola is 6.5 hours into the day and on. Ve'ezi Mincha Kitana. This is all part of the same Braisa. And what is Mincha Kitana? Mitesha Sha'os Ulemala. Mincha Kitana is 9.5 hours into the day. So now the Gemara says, Iboy Lehu, Rabbi Huda, Plag Mincha Ka'amar. Plag mincha kama ka'amar, o plag mincha achrone kama. So I will say, now again, it's just a little bit of a commercial break over here, quoting the rest of the Braisa. When Rabbi Huda says that you can daven mincha until plag mincha means part of mincha. So what part, meaning I will say, here's what we know. We have mincha gedola. Mincha gedola goes from 6.5 hours into the day until when? Until when? No, until the end of the day, until shkia. Right, until Shkia, which means 5.5, right? 5.5 until we'll call it 12, right? So you have another, so 5.5 until 12, and Mincha Kitana goes until when? 9.5 until 12. Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds that you can only daven Mincha for Plag HaMincha, for a part of the time of Mincha. The Shaila is what? Which part? Does he mean a part of Mincha Gedola or a part of Mincha Kitana? Does he mean the first, let's say, half of the period between 6.5 till the end of the day or part of the period between 9.5 until the end of the day? So the Gemara says, Tashma, the sign of Rabbi Huda Omer, Plag mincha achrona amru vehi yud alif shos chaser revia. Oh, when Rabbi Huda says you could daven mincha until plag mincha, he means part of mincha kitana, which means what? Until 10 3/4 hours into the day, which means that Rabbi Huda holds that you could daven mincha until 1 1/4 hours before sunset. So the Gemara says, Neima tehevi tiyufta de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So also now the Gemara says, well, this Braisa seems to clearly refute Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said what? Tfilos kineged avos tiknum. That the reason we daven is why? Because the patriarchs daven. See, here we have a Braisa that says clearly, we don't daven because of the patriarchs daven. Everything we daven is corresponding to the Karbanos. I'm going to give you the perfect compromise answer. In reality, where does the concept of prayer come from? The concept of prayer in its original form, meaning the concept of prayer, morning, afternoon, evening, comes from the avos. The avos are the ones who gave us the concept. So the Gemara says, Oh, once the patriarchs gave us the concept, the conceptual framework of morning, afternoon, and evening prayer, the rabbis then went ahead and what? Superimposed the framework of karbonos onto that patriarchal framework of prayer. So now, once in that Avraham Avinu davened in the morning, I say, okay, what's my framework for morning prayer? Oh, Tamid Shal Shachar. Once Yitzchak Avinu davened in the afternoon, so now what's my framework for that prayer? Oh, Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim. Once Yitzchak Avinu davened in the evening, what's my framework for that prayer? Oh, the burning of the fats and limbs on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yosef says, we don't have to argue. We can actually agree. The conceptual underpinnings of morning, afternoon, and evening prayer comes from the patriarchs, but the framework of it, the timing of it, the details of it, all comes from the Karbanos. So the Gemara says, because if this is not true, Tfilas Musaf Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Man Takna. Sorry, because otherwise Rabbi Yossi, who just says that Tfilos can I get Avos Tiknum, so then what? Who daven Musaf? Right? Where does he find this Chasra Musaf? Rather, you must say the conclusion is Ela Tfilos Avos Tiknum Ba'as Mechinu Rabbanan Akabanas. Rather, Rabbi Yossi, the conclusion of the Gemara is yes, it is the Avos who give us the concept of prayer, who give us the original notion of morning, afternoon, and evening prayer, ve'asmechinu rabbanan akarbanos. And it is the rabbis who went ahead and then took that patriarchal framework and really superimposed it on what we'll call the sacrificial framework. So the avos give us the conceptual framework, and ultimately it's the karbanos that go ahead and fill in all of the details. And I've also said something interesting about this as well. The Marashah, and with this we'll conclude, the Marashah points out something fascinating. He says, it's not the pshat that Avram only daven in the morning, and Yitzchak only daven in the afternoon, Yaakov only daven in the evening. The Marashah says, in the Pashtos, Avram daven 3 times a day, Yitzchak daven 3 times a day, Yaakov daven 3 times a day. So what does it mean that they're each associated? Because each of them had a tefillah that was representative of their gestalt, of their essence, of who and what they are. Avram Avinu, who introduces monotheism to the world, lives at the dawn of monotheism. Right? That's Avram Avinu. He's the one who causes the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rise upon all of humanity. We'll skip for a moment. Yaakov Avinu lives a very tumultuous life, a life of exceptional suffering and difficulty. So what does he daven? He davens Ma'ariv, nighttime, representing difficulty, representing tragedy, representing all types of Yisurin. Yitzchak Avinu, what is Yitzchak in the patriarchal spectrum? Yitzchak is the bridge. Right, Yitzchak is the one who keeps the continuity going. He doesn't really do, he's not really a mechadish, he's not an innovator. He's not like his father, but what does he do? He shores up everything his father does. He's the bridge, he's the mincha. He's the afternoon that bridges the gap between the morning and the evening. So says the Marashah, they each davened all three. Obviously, not our regular tefillos, but they each communicated with God, morning, afternoon, and evening. But they're each identified with the particular prayer that really becomes the paradigmatic embodiment of what it was that they represented. All right, we'll stop over here.